I'm excited to be a part of this. It's Doug and Wolf live from University of Phoenix Stadium today, part of our camp coverage that's extended with Bickley and Murata coming up after us. And we get lucky right now to be able to spend some time with somebody that I've just acted like I've been friends with for 25 years, even though we've been talking for a little bit, and that's Josh Bynes. War Eagle, how are you?
Hey, War Eagle. I'm good. I'm good.
good.
He's an affable guy. Is he not?
Yeah. You can always start with War Eagle, and you know everything is safe. How's life? How's camp?
No, life is good. Camp is work, but it's going good, and you know, we've definitely been getting after it, and finally, you know, and get a chance to, you know, play Saturday, and it'd be really good. Finally hit somebody else besides your teammates.
Yeah, so wait a minute now, Josh. I was out on the field the other day. Yeah, you know this, right? And I'm going to give you a little trouble for this, right? A little brief. But I'm out on the field, and there you are. You're not in pads.
Oh, my God.
It was a full pad practice, right? Your helmet was – what was going on with that? Because I asked you, I said, are you okay? What's wrong?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. You know, I just had, a day. I guess
that's what you said.
But I was just, you know, definitely out there, you know, make sure, you know, we on the side just talking to the guys and making sure we all on the same page and seeing guys. And, you know, guys asked me a ton of questions on the side just to make sure we're all on the same page. And, you know, I'm all for being, I guess, the players, a player type coach for
yes.
the guys. And, you know, I'm definitely, you know, it was a good day yesterday.
But that had to feel good, kind of, right? I mean, just to get a little
respect. Old enough to get a veteran's day.
Just to get a little respect right there, saying, hey, listen, Josh, you know what? You are impressing. You're doing your job. We respect you. You've been around for a while. We're going to give you a day. I think that was kind of cool.
It's still weird to me, I guess.
Is it really? Yeah, I bet.
But, you know, I believe in working and just, you know, continuing trying to prove myself every day. I'm on the field. Shoot, every year you're in this league, you got to continue to prove yourself. And that undrafted, like, still chip is still on my shoulder because, you know, I take that to work with me every day and trying to prove that I'm better than the next person, better than the next player, and prove that I'm supposed to be on the field.
We're talking to Josh Bynes, Cardinals linebacker, here on Doug and Wolf. Ravens, Lions, year with BA here. Tell me about Steve Wilks. What is different about this camp versus everything you've experienced?
Yeah, Coach Wilks has found that balance with camp. He's found where we going to grind, but also knowing where in between is, like, you know, he has some periods in between where it's kind of like you take somewhat of a break.
Yeah.
You know, because we're getting after 907, coming down here, oh my God, da da da. Then all of a sudden it's like special teams. Oh, okay. Then, you know, get a little break, talk with your coaches, and of course guys doing special teams. Then it's all of a sudden it's blitz, and then it's this, and then we got install. It's kind of like he's like throwing breaks in there, so it's like, all right, we're not going to wear you down continuously. Like, oh, we're going 907, straight to team, straight to 7-7, straight to back to team, back to blitz. And, you know, constantly, you know, there's no time to, like, correct those little mistakes and stuff like that. And Wilks just – I think he really – I mean, this is my first time having a schedule like this, but it works. I love it because it gives, like, guys that, like, all right, woo, we exerted a lot of energy, a lot of effort in that one period. We got a little break. We can go over our stuff, our install, you know, maybe plays we're talking about the next period and stuff like that. Now it's like, all right, you guys, you got your juice. You ready? Let's go. Now we're back into the next thing. And I like the fact that Coach Wills put the schedule on it. It's kind of give us that good balance.
First of all, I love the one-on-one to start a practice. I am sorry right now. I've never seen that, Josh. It blew my mind when it did it. I was like 30 years around the game to do it to start practice right after a stretch. I have never seen that, right? And especially to do it in front of the entire team. And you know what that feels like. You can feel the hair on the back of your neck standing up as I talk to you about this, right?
Yeah.
Because you know what that means to go out there and do it. And I also like the fact he'll take the ball, stick it on the 10-yard line, say, you got three plays, ones versus ones, live. Get it in.
Let's go.
Out of nowhere. It's not like a goal line, period.
Honestly, it wasn't even supposed to be live. But it's goal line. I don't recall him ever saying it was live, but we got all those defense, we knew what short yardage and goal line meant. And we talked about before, we looked at each other like, hey man, it's gonna turn into live real quick because we're not gonna let the offense in. We're not gonna, you know, just let it, you know, it's practice at the same time. You know, it's like it's a really good opportunity to, like, you know, they want a physicality and effort, and that's one the first things Coach Wills preached, and we definitely was trying to show it on short yardage and goal line.
But it keeps you on edge, of all. Not only the one-on-one to start a practice, not all the time, but some of the time to start that practice. And then all of a sudden, I'm going to stick the ball there. Let's go live. Three plays, ones versus ones, which you know rarely happens.
Rarely
do you work against the ones, right?
Yeah.
To me, it also is mirroring sudden change in a game, right? I mean, you're over there on the sideline with a Gatorade. Oh, the offense has got the ball. Boom.
Yeah.
Fumble or a pick. Now, all of a sudden, you've got to run out there. How do you perform under sudden change? I think he's mirroring that in practice.
Exactly. Because you never know. In a game, it could change at any given moment.
Yes.
And he does that. He literally, like, we know it's supposed to be scripted or we're supposed to go to individual stuff like that. He'll literally, like, after we get done with stretch, stuff like, oh, 7-on-7 or go right to, oh, team situation, you know, stuff like that. And you want those kind of situations because it's like, oh, my gosh, I wasn't prepared for that. Because in the game, you're sitting there chilling, you're going over plays, and all of a sudden, the officers throw an interception. Yep. You got to stop them from the 20 yards in or vice versa. We're, you know, on defense, we pick it all. Offense, like, oh, we're good. And all of a sudden, we fumble. And all of a sudden, oh, God, Lee, you got to go out there. And, you know, we got to get the ball back in the end zone or something like get the ball back to our defense, you know, stuff like that. So it's just, you know, those situations are realistic. And Wilkes is definitely finding that good in-between balance, like I said earlier.
You're hearing Cardinals linebacker Josh Bynes join Doug and Wolf. I can't imagine as a linebacker with a rookie first-round pick, everybody's asking you Rosen questions at some point or another. I want to ask you a Bradford question. When you're out there with the ones and it's Sam Bradford, what are you seeing from Sam Bradford?
He's seeing the experience with Sam. I mean, he is – he's fantastic with his eyes and knowing where to place the ball, his vision. You know, you're just seeing where he, all right, you know, I've seen a lot of defenses, and that's where, you know, Sam is definitely coming into play. He's smart. He's got the arm strength, and, I mean, he's just intelligent, you know, looking at him and stuff like that. And I'm just sitting there like, you know, come on, throw it right here in the middle. Just, you know, I haven't got my hand. I haven't got a pick yet, so I'm pissed. And, you know, I've been like, Sam, Josh, somebody going to give me something. And you definitely see it with Sam. He's definitely showing why, you know, he's been in the league this long. And he's a really, 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 really good quarterback.
Josh, can you talk to us a little bit about the fact here you are? You're getting an opportunity to start here. This is a big deal. I would imagine it'd be a big deal if I were in your situation right now. You're getting the opportunity to start for this team as a Mike linebacker here. How do you feel about it at this point in your career and the fact that you're getting this opportunity and you're getting the respect and they're looking at you like, you know what, Josh knows what he's doing. Can you put that into emotion? It works for us.
Honestly, I don't know. I guess you're making it. I guess make it for you're making it seem like it's bigger than what it is for me.
For you, good.
You know, for me personally, it's my everyday at work. I've been this way since I've been in the league. I've taken every year, regardless of me being cut or regardless of the situation. You know, C.J. Mosley, when he got drafted in Baltimore when I was there, and everything that happened with there in Baltimore, and then Detroit got an opportunity, and then all of a sudden new staff and new everything in 16, and all of a sudden didn't sign back. So I've always, regardless of the situation, took everything I had and knowing that I'm a starter. And I'm always going to go
You've
out there
acting. You always believe that.
Always believed it and always take it out there on the field. And knowing that regardless, even if I'm not the starter, whenever that time comes, you know, I'm going to be more than ready and
so
prepared
you're going to be you is
yeah,
what you're
that's,
saying.
Yeah, that's me. I'm always thought the same, been the same. And like I said, I take my undrafted backpack every day with me to work. And it's like, hey, I'm out here to prove, you know. And that's what it's about in this league. I'm out here to
it
prove.
It is about proving it, isn't it?
Yes, every single day, every single play every single year. I'm just trying out here to prove, and I don't have to impress nobody. I don't need everybody to like me, everybody to do this, do that.
Amen.
But when I step on the field, it's about, you know, putting out my resume and putting out who I am and what speaks volume as a player. And then, of course, the guys around me knowing that, you know, when I'm around, they're like, dang, you know, what kind of presence do I bring? Am I just a guy that's a downer or a negative, or am I positive? And I'm showing leadership. I'm showing this. And I'm all for that because I've been that way since I've been playing football. I love the game. That's just all. That's what it's about. You know, the money is great. I'm not complaining on that part. Nobody nobody can complain
that's
about the money in the NFL. You know, you see what Todd Gurley said.
It's
you know,
the NFL, baby.
You know, it, of course, all the money's good, but at the same time, you can't play this game as long unless you love it.
You
gotta
it,
love
man.
It. I mean, you can,
got it.
You know, and Coach Wilkes brought that up. Not Coach Wilkes, Coach Al brought us up one day. You know, there's guys that are driven and there's guys that are motivated. And he's like, what's the difference? And pretty much that, you know, guys that are motivated, it comes and goes. You know,
Amen.
Motivation comes
driven,
and goes. You know,
it's
driven.
Here,
it's gone. It don't matter what it is. You driven because you want to do it. And that's just the kind of guy I am. When he said that, I was like, man, ain't no doubt for me. I'm driven. Ain't no doubt. I don't need no motivation. I have my family. I have my wife. I have my kids. I have, you know, everything. You know, I don't. That's all good and dandy. But I love this game. I love to make myself better around other guys and make other guys better, and we all collectively doing this thing, and especially winning a Super Bowl, like, you know, you get that feeling you want to be a part of it again, and what better place to do it. I won that championship here, so, you know, that'd be great to get a Super Bowl here as well.
I'm so glad you said that, because the producer of the Doug and Wolf Show, she went to Oregon.
Oregon. So, oh, my God.
It's good to hear guy say something.
Producer War Eagle.
Take that, Aaron. Take that. And by the way, just so you know, the Cardinals color analyst is getting really old, and you're really good at this. So step all over Wolf. I can see Josh Bynes.
You know, that'd be good. My wife always says that, but I don't know. I mean, I'm all for it. You know, yeah. I think I could do a little radio.
Absolutely.
You know?
I think you ought to go into coaching.
Yeah.
Right. I can do coaching. Yeah, my foot says that a lot, man. Foot told me I should go into coaching and
you
stuff.
Should.
I've heard that before, but, you know, I love
Notice
it.
Notice how Wolf just steered your whole career.
Yeah, you know, he's trying to steer
it,
but it's the truth, though. He's not telling nothing false. Yeah. He's telling the truth. I wouldn't mind it at all. You know, I love the game.
Yep.
And anyway, be around it, you know, radio, coaching, I'm all for it. And I've been doing internships for player development. Every team has a player development director. I've been doing that. So, you know, helping guys at the same time develop, not only on the field, off the field type stuff. So it's just, you know, I'm all for it, you know, as long as I'm around this game. I love it.
All class, all brains, and all tough all at the same time. Good to meet you. Thanks, Josh.
Yeah, no problem
There's
at
Josh
all.
Josh Bynes spending some time with us this morning. Cardinals linebacker. Rookie Josh Rosen coming up at 7:30. Up next, there's a game in 2 days. Is Mason Cole ready? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. If you ever jump in the middle of a conversation, you want to know more about what happened, just go to arizonasports.com or download the podcast that you can hear our different conversations as we just talked to Josh Bynes. And now he has the immortal line, which will be said all the time in the Doug and Wolf Show, maybe off air, sometimes on air. Whenever Aaron Maloney speaks, it will be War Eagle, producer woman.
Oh, my goodness. War Eagle.
Yeah. Josh Bynes was absolutely fantastic. Linebacker for the Cardinals.
So good.
About 10 minutes, 12 minutes away from Josh Rosen, quarterback, before he steps foot on the practice field today. Two days away from Cardinals-Chargers preseason game number one. We are live at University of Phoenix Stadium. And Bickley and Murata are going to be live here as well. And they'll have Chandler Jones after practice. Another guy that is just an outstanding person on that defense to listen to and talk football with. Yesterday, Bickley and Murata had Mason Cole on, and I got to tell you, I love the simplicity of Dan Bickley's question.
Are you ready for this?
Yeah, I think I am. I think I've had enough experiences in college football, and I got the right mindset, and I'm confident I can do the job.
A.Q. Shipley goes down red and white practice, torn ACL. Most guys on the field kind of felt like they knew exactly what it was as soon as it happened. Day later, it's confirmed. And boom, Mason Cole, you're the starter. And this game against the Chargers does not determine his entire future as an NFL player.
Yes.
But it is, you talk about a seesaw for the career, do well. Cardinals probably hold off on bringing anybody in. Maybe they still do, but they feel a lot better about not. Get your butt handed to you, and guess what? There'll be somebody else in here on the very next practice to compete with you for the starting job.
You know, honestly, it's going to be interesting to see how Steve Wilks is going to use Mason Cole and, of course, the starting offensive line as well. How many reps are they actually going to get against the Chargers coming up Saturday night? That is a big question. I know we've got a production meeting with Steve Wilks later on this afternoon. The television crew, Basinonians, once again, I apologize to you for not only the appearance but the suit in particular. I apologize for that.
They have tailors.
Get used to it. Get used to it. It's from 1989. I don't really care. Google me later. Talk to me about it. I don't care, ladies and gentlemen. But I will tell you right now that how many reps he gets, I think, is going to be important, because I would love to see him get about 12 to 15 reps, and hopefully those 12 to 15 reps go really, really well for about 13 of them. Okay? Really, really well for about 13, and then get him out. get him out. Build a little bit of confidence, I think, with Mason Cole to begin with, rather than just throw him out there and say, you know what, you need to play. You need to play. You need to play. You're going to get better. Go take 40 reps. And I'm exaggerating, obviously, for effect, but you get my point, right? I'd like to see him build a little bit of confidence and then probably take him out after three series.
I think they're going to go a lot more.
You think so?
I think he's going to be the starting center with Sam Bradford, and he's going to be the backup center. He's going to run with the twos as well. I think he's going to stay in with Josh for quite a while and then come out. And there's a lot of people that do that with starting pitchers. You know, if you have been struggling and you're young and you give him good five and a third, boom, hey, let's get him out now. So even if we lose the game, let's give him this taste of coming out with the lead and leaving it there. So there's a lot of people with that theory. I just think they're going to want to get a lot more on tape so they can correct it. One more Mason Cole before we tell you about last night's D-backs game.
Yeah, you know, AQ went down on Saturday, and I've been working with the twos all camp, so I was obviously next center up. But that day, all the veterans were, you know, had my back, voicing their confidence in me, and kind of been that since then. Kind of taking more responsibility of learning the offense even more, going more in depth. And like I said, all the veterans have been right there with me, so it's been really good.
Once again, I cannot stress this enough. I just love the fact that Justin Pugh is alongside of Mason Cole, because again, it's not like Mason Cole doesn't know his stuff. As a matter of fact, the offensive linemen, you talk to the offensive linemen, Doug Leeson, they're like, man, this kid has got it. This kid understands this. He's a bright kid. Michael Zordich, of course, a great friend of mine, actually coaches under Jim Harbaugh at Michigan, said, Wolf, the thing about this kid, he is smart. He is smart and he's tough, and he's going to give you everything he's got. So hopefully that's going to be enough going forward. But to assume that there isn't going to be a learning curve for Mason Cole, I think, is myopic and short-sighted.
You can join our own producer, War Eagle producer woman. Just walk right up to her and say it coming up on Saturday, as Arizona Sports is going to be at Volkswagen North Scottsdale from 11 to 1. We'll be giving away Cardinals preseason and D-backs tickets, movie passes, and more. Plus, they'll be hosting an Adopt-a-Dog event in conjunction with Halo Animal Rescue with an on-site food truck. Head to the events page at arizonasports.com for details, and we'll see you Saturday from 11 to 1 at Volkswagen or Scottsdale.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Doug and Wolf react to yesterday's D-backs game. D-backs Daily, brought to you by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer, an official partner of your Arizona Diamondbacks.
Corbin was fantastic, and so was David Peralta. He's up to the plate in the top of the third with two runners on. Bottom of the third.
And the next one. And there's a drive into right. That's a hit. That might score Goldie from first. Jay comes in. Williams over to get the ball. Plays the ricochet. Goldie rounding third. He will come in to score on the way to third with an RBI triple, a two-run triple. David Peralta, and it's 2-0 Diamondbacks.
Stay hot, David. That's all I can say.
Tell me if this is good as far as what Candy said, stay hot. He upped his batting average 13 points in one series. You don't up your batting average that much in August. 13 points, his batting average went up. He went 10 for 16 in this series.
Just David Peralta raking, my friends, and clutch.
He's standing on third base now after the triple bottom of the third. Pollock strikes out, then Escobar comes up.
The 0-1 pitch to Eduardo Escobar. Swing, and there's a ball hit to deep center. It's going to be caught by Herrera back on the warning track. Tagging coming in to score is Peralta. And Escobar delivers a sac fly to give the Diamondbacks a 3-0 lead.
Patrick Corbin went 7 1/3, had an outstanding performance, shut him down in a 6-0 win for the Diamondbacks. And even though he doesn't get credit for the RBI, at least he put the ball in play in the third.
Patrick, a ground ball to second. They will get the out at second. They'll turn the double play, but Marte will come in to score. And it's 4-0 D-backs.
I got excited. I said the third. In the fourth inning is when that happened. And then, Corbin, you want us to know what else he did? How about striking out the ninth hitter?
The 1-2 to Williams. Swing and a miss. Strikeout number 9 for Corbin. Two quick outs in the seventh inning. And he's gotten Williams all three times today.
He's really had his number.
9
Ks. Chance with that slider.
Candy, we're got to go. Josh Rosen's coming. 9 strikeouts, no walks, only 2 hitters above the minimum. 7 1/3. Diamondbacks off today in Cincinnati tomorrow. They're a winner, 6-0.
You've been listening to D-Backs Daily on the Doug and Wolf Show. Brought to you by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer, an official partner of your Arizona Diamondbacks.
Coming up next, 2 days before you make your first performance in front of your new home crowd. Josh Rosen, how do you feel? That's next as we talk to the Cardinals rookie on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. We're overlooking the field. They're getting it ready for practice, which starts about 30 minutes. And Cardinals first-round draft pick Josh Rosen has grabbed a headset to join the Doug and Wolf Show. And we've been here 12 years as the morning sports morning show in town. So that either means we're getting canned in the next year and a half here and people are sick of us, or we're going to be here for a while. So hopefully every camp, you and I and Wolf will be talking to each other for years and years to come. How do you feel? How you feel now that you are 2 days away from your first performance as a professional in a game?
I'm really excited. I'm basically trying to take every day by day and hour by hour, because if you try to look too far ahead, it looks like a lot. I mean, the preseason 4 games is basically a quarter of a college season before you even start your actual regular season. So I'm just kind of getting ready to try and strap in for the long haul. Get my body right and try and master this playbook and really be ready week to week if my name is called.
Josh, do you have any expectation for Saturday night in regard to how many reps you're going to get, how much you're going to play? Do you have any expectation?
I have zero expectation. Whatever they want me to do, I'll do it.
Okay. So they have not talked to you about that. It's just going to be go out there and actually take some reps here. How are you liking the offense of Mike McCoy?
I like it a lot. The biggest thing I like about it is that coach is encouraging us to make it our own. He wants us to check. He wants us to audible. He wants us to tell us what plays we like. He wants us to put red lines through plays we don't. He wants us to individually, Sam, me, Mike, and Chad, he wants us to all sort of take ownership of the offense and kind of personalize it to ourselves and see what works, see what doesn't. And I think coming from San Diego with Philip Rivers and Denver with Peyton Manning, he's got a lot of flavors of a lot of different offenses from all over. So it's been a lot of fun. Hopefully in the years to come, it'll get a lot better.
So, Josh, then how does the conversation go with Mike McCoy if he's encouraging you to check an audible and then you find out you shouldn't have checked or audibled into what you did? How does that conversation go?
Well, it's definitely a lot of trust. I mean, I wasn't doing this at all at the start, and I'm not really doing any much right now or nearly as much as Sam is. But just in general, he wants us to sort of slowly progress into that guy that takes complete leadership and ownership of the huddle and of all 22 guys standing on the field. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I'm not doing a lot right now, but it always is a learning curve, and it's encouraged in practice because it is practice. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's pretty much it. I've just learned a lot of football these last couple weeks, and it's been really cool because it's been a lot of fun.
Josh, you know, coming out of UCLA, of course, coming out of college, so many scouts said that this is the most NFL-ready quarterback, right? Everyone talked about your intelligence and your IQ, right? Was it harder than you thought actually coming here and learning a professional offense, learning the defenses of an NFL? Was it a little bit more difficult than you anticipated?
Not really. I mean, I didn't underestimate it. I definitely acknowledged the fact that it was going to be hard, but it wasn't anything crazy or out of the ordinary. I mean, obviously, I haven't hit a regular season games yet, so I don't know what exactly teams will throw at you, but I have a pretty good idea. I mean, I came from 3 offenses in college, so I had to learn a new one every year, and each one was progressively more and more pro style. So my freshman year I had a full spread, and my sophomore year I had a little bit of a mix between the two, and my third year I had Harbaugh's offense with Coach Fish. So I think I was pretty well equipped to step into this and learn it as quick as possible and start to think less and play more, because I think as you're when you're learning an offense and you're having to think about so much, you kind of aren't you play faster when you know what you're doing. Mm-hmm. So the more you can eliminate that thinking and thought process and all that stuff, the more I can actually play ball like I know how to play ball and sling it.
Josh Rosen, Cardinals rookie quarterback, joining Doug and Wolf. I don't know how you feel about it looking back to draft night, but you backtracked the 9 mistakes comment, focused on quarterbacks. Fans loved it, though. Fans loved that you said that. Now that you're here, have you even paid attention to Baker Mayfield? Have you paid attention to Josh Allen, Darnold? Is that like the furthest thing from your mind, or is that still a little? Because remember, Tom Brady can still rattle off every single quarterback that was drafted in front of him. He's never forgotten it. Are you still paying attention to them, or is that too far away?
No, I'm not paying attention to anything outside of this building. It's always noted in my head that three GMs made a very poor mistake, but I'm happy they did because I'm very satisfied with where I am. I get to play with two Hall of Famers, and hopefully a couple more. But I have a great coach who came from Peyton and Phillip, and I get to learn behind Sam. And I think I landed in the best situation of any quarterback in the draft. However, I'm still very frustrated and angry that the three GMs thought the three other quarterbacks are better than me, and I'm still very determined to prove them wrong.
Is there one word that best describes your relationship with Sam Bradford at this point in time? Is there one word that you could give us and then obviously expound on this? What has Sam Bradford meant to you?
I don't know if I could really think of one word for it, but he's just been really, like, surprisingly encouraging, and he's helped me out a ton. Like, not just saying that to try and sort of, like, as an overlying, like, whatever, and trying to fake it. Like, he actually has been
right.
Unbelievably.
Like, he's meant it.
Yeah, he's been awesome with me, and he's taught me a ton, and I'm asking him. I ask a lot of questions, and the whole why thing or whatever. I definitely ask a lot of questions.
Did people make a big deal of that, Josh? Did they make
absolutely.
Of a deal about the why thing? He's always asking why.
It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I mean, if I was a teacher or I was a coach, like, I would be concerned if my, like. Or I would either, one, think he knew absolutely everything down cold, or two, be very concerned that he's, like, disinterested. I would want, like, my student or my player, if I was a coach or teacher, to, like, ask questions and try to figure out, like, what we're doing. Otherwise, I'd be like, is something wrong? Or, like, this kid must know absolutely everything. I absolutely don't, and I'm very interested. So I want to find out the details of everything because I want to be one of the best in the game.
Talking to Josh Rosen, Cardinals rookie here on the Doug and Wolf Show. From day one of camp, on your last year at UCLA until now, how are you different, or what's been a number one lesson in the last year of your life?
I don't know. I think what's been tough about these last couple months is I feel kind of like a nomad. I'm not really living in one place for very long. I've gone from – let me backtrack this. So I got college, and then I went to go live in apartments in Orange County to train, and then you go to the draft, and then you come back, and then you go back to school to do pro day for a couple weeks to train, and then you have all your visits there, and you go back to train, and then you're at home for a little bit, then you're at OTAs, and then you're back home, and now I'm at camp. I'm not even in my apartment. I'm in a hotel, and then I think next Wednesday, I go back to my apartment and finally get to sort of settle down somewhere. So in all this sort of chaos going on, you just have to find somehow, some way to kind of center yourself, and every day wake up, kind of look yourself in the mirror and go through that same process. Even though you might be in a different location, doing something different, you have to find a way to just get ready to attack the day regardless of whatever they have coming for you. Because I sincerely every single day have no idea what's in store for me. And that's what I think is kind of the cool thing about this whole process. Like my freshman year of college, you're always nervous and you don't know what's going on. And you're just trying to stay ready and be ready. And that's exactly what I'm experiencing here and going to experience hopefully until next February. Is just a lot of newness. And I'm going to stay ready and be excited regardless of where I lay my head.
So in other words, life would have been a lot easier if you just would have chosen AS. You from the beginning instead of UCLA.
Exactly.
So Josh, how do you center yourself? What do you do when you want to relax? How do you center yourself?
I would say the one common theme is football. And regardless of what kind of string of football you're doing, whether you're practicing a 40 in tights or throwing a ball in full pads in practice out in this field that I'm looking at right now, you just have to. I think football is that sort of one commonality in my life that I look forward to every single day I wake up. I'm excited to get up and throw this leather ball around, and it's just a lot of fun, and I get to meet a lot of cool people from all around the world with different life experiences. I've been fortunate to experience things in life that many people only dream of, and the only reasons that it happened is because of this game, and that's what I wake up every morning thinking about, and that's what I'm very thankful for, that I have the skill set to pursue at the professional level.
Good talk. Can't wait to have you on again.
Absolutely. Thanks. You so much.
Absolutely. Josh Rosen, rookie quarterback, Arizona Cardinals, joining Doug and Wolf. Coming up next, as he looks out, what's he ready for on Saturday? Him, Mason Cole, maybe together, rookie quarterback, rookie center. Cardinals, Chargers, next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. We're live here from Cards Camp 2018, a new hope. Go ahead. Yeah, Paul Calvisi just grabbed a headset. Paul, good to see you. Welcome to the West Side.
Well, you know, Josh Rosen was my warm-up act, so that was good.
Good.
No, that was a great conversation, guys. I was listening, driving on the way over here to University of Phoenix Stadium, and can I just say something?
Yeah.
This whole narrative, first off, how he asked the question why, and like that was a
right.
shortcoming or a
yeah,
detriment.
Right.
So that was a great point he made. But the other one is that he has all these interests supposedly outside football because he's an intelligent guy and so forth. I have seen no evidence of any of this being a distraction. I mean, if you had to rate the most driven guy, the most driven rookie in this class, now Chase Edmonds is a driven guy.
Yeah.
But Rosen is all ball, whether it's on draft night, I had a chance to interview him, whether he'd been chopping it up around camp, you guys talking to him. This is a guy who was 100% focused on being an outstanding quarterback. None of this other stuff, this off-field ancillary stuff. This guy is a driven quarterback. And what I find interesting is because he comes from means and affluence, everyone thought, oh, okay. No, money doesn't seem to matter much to him. I just get that sense. He's never really said that. He's not playing for the contract.
I get the sense he's so angry because people think he's soft because his family has money, that he wants to stick it right. to everybody for right. that. To prove your point, you never thought this answer would have proved your point, but when I asked him the question about draft night and asked him the question, if you just tuned in and you didn't hear it, I asked him, are you paying attention to what Baker Mayfield is doing? Are you paying attention to Josh Allen? Are you keeping your eye on Sam Darnold? His first answer, as soon as I asked it, was, no, I'm worried about this building. And he starts focusing on football here, just exactly as you said, and that's all that's on his mind. But as he starts talking, as I sat here, you look in his eyes, you could see fire start to come out of his eyes. That it was almost as if he doesn't want to go there. He knows, don't talk about the other quarterbacks. But the rage is still there that he couldn't keep it from coming out. So I don't think he walks to University of Phoenix Stadium and thinks, I got to stick it to Baker Mayfield today. But I do think if he starts talking about it, then the fire is too passionate for him to put out.
No, I'm not paying attention to anything outside of this building. I mean, it's always noted in my head that three GMs made a very poor mistake, but I'm happy they did because I'm very satisfied with where I am. I get to play with two Hall of Famers and hopefully a couple more. But I have a great coach who came from Peyton and Phillip, and I get to learn behind Sam. And I think I landed in the best situation of any quarterback in the draft. However, I'm still very frustrated and angry that the three GMs thought the three other quarterbacks are better than me, and I'm still very determined to prove them wrong.
You know what's amazing about it, too? Just the fact I asked him about how does he center himself. I don't know if we actually have that cut ready to go.
We only cut up the ones I asked.
But it's so interesting, isn't it? I asked him literally, how do you center yourself? How do you relax? And how do you go about your business?
I would say the one common theme is football. And regardless of what kind of string of football you're doing, whether you're practicing a 40 in tights or throwing a ball in football, full pads in practice out in this field that I'm looking at right now. You just have to – I think football is that sort of one commonality in my life that I look forward to every single day I wake up. I'm excited to get up and throw this leather ball around. And it's just a lot of fun, and I get to meet a lot of cool people from all around the world with different life experiences. I've been fortunate to experience things in life that many people only dream of, and the only reasons that it happened is because of this game. And that's what I wake up every morning thinking about, and that's what I'm very thankful for, that I have the skill set to pursue at the professional level.
Do you remember what Trent Dilfer told us about this kid?
No.
Right? That Trent Dilfer, he said that this kid eats, drinks, and sleeps football. This is what he does. He absolutely loves the game. And I think we were all kind of surprised when we heard how much he loved the game. But listening to his answers here today, especially that one, on how does he center himself, it's really all about football.
He centers himself on football.
It's all about football.
I mean, all these narratives are potentially going to be as wrong as they were 10 years ago about Calais Campbell and how he supposedly didn't have a motor coming out of the U. Here's the other thing, though. Not only does he say he wants to be the best, he's used to being the best. You hear the rage, how he's seething. There were three other quarterbacks taken ahead of him. That really torques him off. And the fact that he comes into this camp and Sam Bradford is better, because Sam Bradford is better, that really drives him. You can sense it. He admitted the first few days of camp that, you know what, Sam's operating this offense like he's in year four, and I'm in year one. But he's been getting better. In the last two practices, especially yesterday, he was running that two-minute drill. Guys, you saw it. I mean, he looked really good. He was decisive. Balls were on the money. And he took the second team down the field and put it right in the end zone.
You know, speaking of the wrong mantra on Josh Rosen, and I don't know how his career is going to go. I don't want to hide the fact that I have always been afraid of his injury history and whether or not he's going to be able to stay healthy over the course of his career. But what you started this conversation with in that – how it seems to be all about football. And then you just made up the point of how wrong it appears now, a few months into his career, how wrong some of the narratives were. I think one of the reasons why they're wrong is nobody saw the fact that he loves football differently than so many other people love football. He just talked in that answer to Wolf's question about centering himself that he loves the different backgrounds of other people. He loves meeting people with different life experiences. He's finding things out about people and football that he loves that no one ever talks about. So the old school coach that has the two snap shorts on with that are too tight, that guy that just talks about hitting people, and that old 1970s coach, they don't like Josh Rosen. But if you really listen, Josh Rosen is all about football. It's just he likes things about football that nobody else talks about.
Yes, also, too, I don't know if we've got this cut ready to go, but the question of why. His answer to that, right? When I said to him, I said, what about that whole why thing, that narrative that surrounds Josh Rosen? I don't know if we've got that ready to go back there in command and control.
There's no command and control. There's me.
I see.
But I've got to find out through the labels.
I see.
So you just have to be patient.
Yes. The why question right there, the fact that he'd have the unmitigated temerity, the audacity to actually ask why. Why are we doing that? Right? And Trent Dilfer, remember Delph? Oh, he was so great. Trent was like, hey, listen, you know what? I've been in the NFL. Don't ask me why. Just do it. Right? Yeah. At first. And then he needed to understand who Josh was. Remember, Trent Dilfer said, I hated the kid. And the kid hated me. Remember Dilfer saying that? It was so awesome. He said, and then yet I've learned who he is and how he goes about his business and how he learns, and it's totally changed his perception of who Josh Rosen is.
If Barry Maloney don't mind, what's that cut labeled? Because I can't figure out which is the why. Do you guys remember which one that is?
Apparently they don't. They're scrambling back there.
Here
I thought it was a still point moment of this interview, well, this conversation, ladies and gentlemen. We don't have interviews. We have conversations.
You have to remember, though, it was a great moment, but it gets ranked below my questions. That's the difference.
Yeah. Oh, you might not have the money question and the money answer of the conversation. I see.
Yeah.
What a mistake.
You'll get over it. The entire Josh Rosen conversation is going to be up right after the show at ArizonaSports.com, so you'll be able to listen to it. This is him talking about the being able to read the defenses, and it was interesting because you asked him, is it harder than what you expected? And he answered it so well because he admitted it's very hard, but he expected it to be hard, so no.
Not really. I mean, I didn't underestimate it. I definitely acknowledged the fact that it was going to be hard, but it wasn't anything crazy or out of the ordinary. I mean, obviously, I haven't hit a regular seasons yet, season games yet, so I don't know like what exactly teams will throw at you, but I have a pretty good idea. I mean, I came from 3 offenses in college, so I had to learn a new one every year, and each one was progressively more and more pro style. So my freshman year, I had a full spread, and my sophomore year, I had a little bit of a mix between the two, and my third year I had Harbaugh's offense with Coach Fish. So I mean, I think I was pretty well equipped to step into this and learn it as quick as possible and start to think less and play more.
Look at this, it happened. It happened. I'll tell you in a second. It happened. Madden 19 drops tomorrow, and we're celebrating by giving away copies every hour all day long. Just text Madden right now to 620-620 and listen for your name tomorrow on the Doug and Wolf Show. That's right. You listen to us tomorrow at 6 in the morning, and we might be calling out your name for the opportunity to be a winner. And a grand prize winner is going to get a PS4 Pro or an Xbox One S of your choice. Just text Madden to 620-620. All right, coming up next, it happened. Ron Wolfley made the call out. Ron Wolfley wanted to know, what was it like for Sam Bradford to shut down Kurt Warner? And you sent out the bat signal.
I did.
Kurt Warner, Hall of Famer, joins us next.
Yeah.
After getting shut down by Sam Bradford on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.